news, information, opinions, history, and most importantly, always real. This is Rant EM Radio.
And it's about to explode.
We're live on the air here on Rant, emradio.com for our payback post show. We're having some technical problems here with the audio, but it seems that everything now is functioning. Can you guys hear me?
Yes.
Yes.
All right. Can you hear? Let's see. We're just going to hit a sound to make sure that all the audio is being able to be heard. Can you hear the bell as soon as it loads? You heard that?
Yes.
All yep. Right. So now everything is working. So everybody, welcome to Rant EM Radio's post show for Payback. Double A being joined by Surfer and Rage. Oh boy, what an interesting night in Chicago.
I'll be honest, I'm not even like finished watching the pay-per-view because a lot, like several times during the night, it was like skipping back and forward. So like, I'm at like where I'm at right now, like I'm at where like they set, Roman Reigns on the stairs and like they beat him over the back with the,
okay,
Singapore canes. But I mean, I get the gist of it. It's all over the internet now. I know the outcome, but.
You know, I gotta say a couple of things. Number one, the crowd in Chicago, while surly, for the most part, behaved themselves.
Yeah.
There were some moments. Apparently,
chanting for somebody who's not there.
Apparently. WWE put the curse on the Blackhawks because we just got word that the Kings are going to the Stanley Cup Finals.
Not from what I'm seeing. Right now I'm looking at a 4-4 game in overtime.
Now, apparently. It could be.
I don't know.
Yeah.
I'm
that's what I'm reading
now.
Just right now coming across Twitter. Oh, it's heartbreak for Chicago. The LA Kings have just scored. LA Kings, Iron Sheik, Glass, QCM Punk's tears.
That. I don't see
LA Kings
yet.
Are going to the Stanley Cup Finals. I don't know, Rage. You're behind on a lot of things. You're lagging in general tonight.
I mean, I just tuned into the
4-4
the broadcast.
4-4
so.
Final. The Kings 5, Blackhawks 4. The Kings are going to the Stanley Cup.
My Rangers will handle this.
So it's been a rough night in Chicago.
Poor CM Punk.
Poor CM Punk. Mm-hmm. What's he so poor
about?
Isn't
he at the United Center?
Yes, he was.
Yeah, exactly.
So he enjoyed a game that his team lost.
Oh, shut up. You always. There you go with that. Guys, that's what I'm talking about. That's the shit that gets me and you arguing.
Why? Because you are worried about somebody's team losing, and you think that's a bad thing.
So Dean Ambrose,
first of all, I ain't said it. I ain't say I was worried.
Hold on, guys. Let's take you. Let's take you to Fallout. Hold on.
So We're survivors, man. That's all we got.
The big difference between us and them in this whole scenario is we don't freaking care, man. Like, we don't care. We'll take it to a different level, and it doesn't matter. You know, and as things start getting a little hairy, you know, they start slowing down. They start second-guessing themselves and questioning the decisions that they're making. And they're asking themselves, like, do I really want to be here right now? And we want to be there. We want to be in the nastiest, ugliest fight in the friggin' world. And we were, and we got what we wanted. And that's why we won.
Everything hurts. I think my tricep's torn. I got hit by at least 50 stick shots, chairs. Pain's temporary. Our pride and honor's forever.
That's good. That sucks. There's already a t-shirt that says that.
Guys, you won this war with Evil.
Who the hell is this press that's asking these questions, you know? Anyways. So
Maybe it's the people that WWE just paid to be there. That's what I'm thinking.
Well, it's a fake press conference.
Yeah, it is.
Super Shield.
So, let's see. Lots to talk about. If you want to chime in on anything, 954-889-7268, double A the rant. All one word on Skype. The chat room is very active right now. For the most part, a lot of people are under the impression that this was a bad pay-per-view.
I didn't think so.
I thought it was boring.
I don't know about... I wouldn't call it a bad pay-per-view, but it certainly was boring. But then again, a boring pay-per-view technically is bad, because pay-per-views in general should not be boring. So, not good.
People are saying that because they don't like the results of the matches.
They're saying it in general. The pay per view was boring. So, you know, listen, and that main event was a train wreck. It was boring.
It would have made a better match if they just eliminated people throughout the thing.
And it was slow.
No, it's not even that. It was just a bad match.
Instead of just, you know, beating on each other until the last second. I kind of thought this was going to be the first time they pay-per-view went past 11.
No.
Because it was like 10:54. Nobody had been pinned.
Yeah. I think that they probably were just, you know, skimming across the edge there. To see what if, but yeah, no, not good, guys. WWE was the general ideal was, hey, let's not let NXT show us up. Now, we didn't talk about this during the pre-show, but NXT TakeOver trumped in a big way this pay-per-view. Because NXT TakeOver was a great show. Now, we're going to talk in detail about NXT TakeOver Tuesday night on the rant. But, yeah. The developmental people really, really showed up the main roster today in a big way. And it's like, it's hard for me to say what could have been the match of the night. Because really, there was no match that really stood out. I mean, okay, the last man standing match between John Cena and Bray Wyatt had its moments, had its high spots, was okay. But other than that, it just was your typical last man standing, and it just was a
fluke. It was what I was.
And of course, John Cena won.
They don't make
those anvil cases anymore.
This is a fluke.
I'm not going to argue with you. Not right now.
I don't think you know what that was. A fluke.
You know that was a fluke. You know damn well that was.
You don't even know what the definition of a fluke is.
I know what a fluke is, and that what I saw was a typical John Cena fluke.
You know what a real fluke is?
What John Cena pulled off tonight?
I didn't ask you. I said, do you know what a real fluke is?
Tell me what a real fluke is.
It's a fish.
Whatever, dude. I saw a fluke tonight. Whatever, dude.
I think we've got.
I saw a typical Cena.
Here, let's listen to Bo Dallas.
We never dwell on the negative things in life. So on the upside, I'm still undefeated.
What was the purpose of this?
Next question.
Hold on, let's listen to Bo.
Bo, do you think that you'll face Kofi Kingston in the future, considering the fact that you weren't able to face him tonight?
You know, I really do hope so, because Kofi Kingston is one heck of a superstar, and he's a good guy, and I like to give good guys shots. You know, he deserves it. And I would love nothing more to have a hard-fought battle with Kofi Kingston, so fingers crossed. I hope you get the opportunity again. Well, I kind of have somewhere to be, so I had a lot of fun doing this, and thank you guys so much. So, just keep on believing.
Oh my
Bye, guys.
Oh Cheesy.
You know what? Okay, what did Kofi do wrong? First of all, he's on the pre-show. Then he gets squashed by Kane.
Wait a minute. How the hell? If I'm not mistaken, okay, let me. There was a couple of things wrong with this match, and I don't know who's to blame for this. Charles Robinson or the poor commentary team who just didn't, clarify. And I like how they're cleaning up the arena in the background, sweeping up all the trash that Chicago left on the floor. Jesus Christ, pigs that they are. Anyways.
Oh, gosh, that's everywhere.
No, I'm looking at buckets of, just mountains of trash.
Yeah, everywhere.
That's not everywhere, Rage. People are a little bit more respectful than that. Anyways, so the match, the bell rung, right? Okay, so the match technically got underway when Kane came out. Kane attacked Kofi Kingston. So at that point, Charles Robinson should have called for the disqualification, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so that technically gives Kofi the win via DQ. But since nothing really happened in the match, I was under the assumption that the match was ruled a no contest. But now Bo says, I'm still undefeated. Like, well, wait a minute. I guess are they going to go with the no contest theory? That's my guess. But technically, Kofi won by disqualification. But anyways, let's get down
did
to
the bell ring.
The bell did ring, yes.
Okay, then Kofi should win
via disqualification.
Right.
Oh, wait a minute, we've got to hear from Paul Heyman now.
If you want to come for a grappling match, let's get an NCAA Division I referee and we'll get down on the mat and one guy and they'll wrestle each other and we'll do classic Greco-Roman or Olympic style and may the better grappler win. Sheamus said he's coming for a fight. So why didn't he fight? You know why he didn't fight? Because Cesaro tonight proved he's a better fighter than Sheamus. You know, if I'm Sheamus, I go back tonight to my hotel room and I'm ashamed of myself. I think Sheamus should stop calling himself an Irishman. I think he needs to become a Frenchman. He needs to become a lover, not a fighter, because he was outfought by Cesaro. Cesaro beat Sheamus down, kicked his tuchus all over the ring, and when Sheamus couldn't outfight Cesaro, Sheamus resorted to a wrestling move in a fight. I personally am embarrassed to be in the same company as a man like Sheamus. And as for my client's opinion, they're far from PG, and I won't even dare repeat to you what my client said in 5 different languages, mind you, in the locker room.
I don't know what match Paul Heyman...
Anyways, so...
Goal!
So here's what happened. That was the opening match. Cesaro and Sheamus. Cesaro looked like he was going to get the match over Sheamus, but Sheamus rolled him up with a schoolboy, not a schoolboy, small package, and and won the match after a vicious airplane swing, and not good. That we started off the night on the wrong foot. And let me see here. I'm going through my notes here. Rybacksel versus Cody Rhodes and Goldust. Another match that just didn't do anything, but Rybacksel got the victory, leaving Cody and Goldust in the center of the ring. Cody got on the mic and said, Brother, you need a better tag team partner than me. And he dropped the mic and he walked off. Let's see. Rusev and Big E. Rusev, now a resident of Moscow, Russia. No longer the Bulgarian brute.
You think he's shacking up with Edward Snowden? Like they roommates?
No. The spot of this match was the spear from Big E into Rusev to the outside. That certainly was... It definitely was the spot in the match, but eventually Rusev got the victory over Big E. We saw the Kofi Bo Dallas incident where Kane came out and just manhandled Kofi. Bo then got on the mic and said to Kofi, "Kofi, it'll be okay. You just need to get back on your feet because all you have to do is believe."
Oh, a new nation is coming. Just from that.
Bad News Barrett defeated RVD in another match that it just left me flat. one of the high spots of the night, though, was Daniel Bryan's decision to Stephanie McMahon, in which Brie made the decision for Daniel. She quit and gave one of the best paintbrushes to Stephanie in many, many, many years. And Stephanie went running like a scalded dog to the back.
Now, I could be wrong, but I'm in a lot of Facebook groups, and they're saying that Stephanie had pissed herself.
That Stephanie had what?
Pissed herself.
I don't know if that's true. I mean, how can you tell?
Because as she was running away, I saw someone had got a screenshot of like her ass, and it looked like it was, and it looked.
All right. Well, they're showing the video right now during backstage fallout, and I'm looking here, and
yeah, you need a judge.
I don't see anything.
My feed done froze. Good slot, WWE.
Don't blame WWE. Blame your shoddy equipment. I have yet to have a single issue.
Oh, that was just what I was told.
It's not my equipment.
It's your equipment.
Got a fast computer.
It's your equipment. If you had a fast computer, if you had a good computer, let's just put it that way. Fast doesn't necessarily mean good. If you had a good computer, you wouldn't be having technical problems.
And then my app is slow too.
Then your internet connection sucks also. But then again, you shouldn't be watching on what device are you watching on?
Well, I got it on my computer and I'm watching it on my TV.
Okay, it should be working on your TV.
But the computer is freezing.
Well, your computer sucks. Anyways,
it just started free. It just started just now.
Okay. Your computer sucks.
My computer does not suck. You suck. How about that?
How is it that I've never had a technical issue? Yet. I have yet to have a single technical problem.
You got Roku.
Okay.
Roku, yeah, you do have Roku.
I've never had a problem on any of my devices.
Yeah, but...
I watch regularly at work, the network. Never had a problem. Something tells me your devices suck. Anyways,
it hasn't frozen.
My device don't suck. My PS4 is fine. to surf with, by the way.
Alicia Fox going nuts during the press conference here. She just destroyed the press conference set.
No, did she?
Anyways. As backstage fallout goes off the air, they're breaking down the ring. They're bringing down the lights. This is the fastest they've broken down an arena. Wow. Anyways, let me see what we got here next on the card. If you want to call in, 954-889-7268. AA The Rant, all one word on Skype. Let's see. Last Man Standing. The issue with the pyro. The pyro. Now, was it me or did the pyro accidentally go off?
Well, he would hit the pyro button as he went over the table.
But that's what I'm saying.
Is that it?
What purpose did that serve?
No, he landed on a button.
Okay, so that means the pyro accidentally went off. My point is that that was not part of the match.
It might have been. I mean, why would you throw somebody into the pyro table if you didn't want that to happen?
Why would the pyro...
Something that could...
Okay, why have the pyro go off in general? Because the pyro, technically, should have a... the pyro, unless being used, should be off for incidences like that. So, okay, fine. If the pyro... safety-wise, was turned off, and they threw him into that area, the pyro should not have gone off. But if the pyro was turned on, if the pyro was on, okay, mm-hmm. and they went in there and they knocked a button and the pyro set off, that means either A, WWE, for some reason, set it up so that the pyro would go off, or B, there was a... Somebody was just not being careful.
I think it's A, and I'll tell you why. Because, okay, even if you think they turned the equipment off, whatever, there would be somebody at that pyro all time.
Right. The equipment, though, when you're dealing with pyro, the switch that ignites the pyro is always, it has to be off unless you're ready to use it. So basically... While the charge is off, okay? So that you turn the charge off, and then you go and you connect all your different wiring and your concussions and this and that and the things that are supposed to go off. That's why they scramble and they switch the different pyro effects that for the different wrestlers. My question is this. So if that's the case, if they left it on purposely for the pyro to be set off when somebody was thrown over there, why? What purpose did it serve for the pyro to go off?
They didn't have nobody back there. I would think they would always have somebody at the pyro controls to make sure nobody comes along and mess with it. And when they got there was nobody behind the table. So they was meant to throw, one of them was meant to throw the other over there. And the pyro was like, oh my God, that's supposed to add to this illusion. They're fighting all over the place. And all you got was just one little boom.
Doesn't matter. They didn't have pyro almost the entire night. There was no pyro that opened the show. The only pyro really we had was for Kane and for RVD. That was it. That was it.
Huh. You get the replay on?
Listen, Iron Man, yeah, they got the replay on. Iron Man says regulations in the state are that in order for the pyro to be on, somebody has to be at the controls. Anyways.
Ray White.
William.
Taking a beating.
I gotta take William to task on this, on a comment he just made. Here's the thing. William says that the pay-per-view at times look like an indie show. And I think that does a disservice to indie shows. And I'll tell you why. Mm-hmm. because indie shows have their own flavor, their own vibe, their own thing. And what's to say you can't have a WrestleMania-esque indie WrestleMania-esque show at an indie event, just with indie performers? That's my point. So it's a disservice to put down an indie show like that. That's all I have to say.
The fake press is laughing their ass off at Owens.
I think Bray Wyatt looked strong tonight in a loss.
You're about 30 minutes behind, Rage.
I know. Yeah, I know. I don't know where you're at, but I have like John Cena on the screen. So.
Where we at is the replay just started.
Yeah, the replay just started.
Forget it.
And it had the post show and everything.
Yeah, I told you. It's been going back and forth like several times, so it's whatever.
Anyways,
if it's 11:30 and your feed hasn't ended by 11 o'clock,
yeah. Anyways, so Cena threw Bray, there was a lot of involvement by the Wyatts, Rowan and Harper, and the Usos. And I asked this question. I understand Rowan and Harper sacrificing themselves for Bray because, you know, they're a cult-like family. But the Usos sacrificing themselves for John Cena? There was a lot of theories in the chat room. Cena paid them off. It's the brotherhood of Total Divas. But then again, I started to think, one of those Usos is not on Total Divas.
He was on there when he was on the bus.
Okay, that's one time, though.
And when he got married.
That's one time. Out of 30 or 40 episodes? You know, but anyways. So, yeah. I don't know. I mean, would you sacrifice yourself like that for John Cena? I mean, come on. I have to, you know. I got that begs to answer that question to the general audience.
She slapped the all fucking hell out of her.
What else? We gotta watch Total Divas, by the way. I'll watch it as soon as we get off the air here. Main event, Shield versus Evolution. Boring. Wow. It was a boring match. And you know what? There was a couple of little high spots in the match, but yeah. Boring.
Extremely.
And I gotta tell you something. They beat the hell out of Roman Reigns with kendo sticks.
Mm-hmm.
I gotta tell you something. Not that I, you know, I'm saying this for any particular reason, but you know, when you look at Roman Reigns, right, you look at this guy that's just physically dominant, and then you see that he's, you know, a beast, and that he's, you know, in shape and things like that. They took this guy's vest off today, and it was like looking at just a guy they pulled off, you know, some corner in Chicago and said, "Hey, do you want to work a wrestling match?" I said, "Oh my God, no wonder they wear the vest and things like that. It hides, you know." I saw a gunt. And
these guys ain't suited up. That's what it is.
It's not even that, because you don't need to be, you don't need to shoot up to be toned and defined and ripped. Like, but I just was like, I was shocked. I personally, I was shocked. I really was.
Listen, all the members of the Shield basically wear clothing head to toe.
Right.
Evolution come out. They're in shorts, ripped and everything. I mean, if these guys was ripped like Evolution, they would be coming out with their shirts off too. So, I mean, they're in shape, they're athletes, but they're not ripped.
Hold on, I'm going to rewind something here. Let's take you back to Payback right now.
Oh, I'm sorry. He's not here tonight. He's over at the United Center watching the Blackhawks. Watching the Blackhawks get their streak broken by the LA Kings.
Oh.
There you go. I just had to play that.
That has to be bad timing when you have a pay-per-view in a town during the playoffs.
Oh.
All that has to
but you know what?
Their asses.
But I got to tell you, because the Blackhawks were, early in the night, were leading 2-0.
Mm-hmm.
But anyways, just was
irony.
Was a bad pay-per-view. Let's be honest, it was a bad pay-per-view. And WWE, you know, Wario at some point earlier in the chat room said that when Daniel Bryan got hurt, Daniel Bryan really got screwed. I mean, WWE got screwed when Daniel Bryan got hurt. And it's true. I mean, they're scrambling now. They don't know what to do.
So why aren't they taking the belt off of him?
I think they really want him to be champion.
I can understand that, but he can always come back and win it back.
They don't want to go through that whole process, I think. And I think they feel it's also... I you know what? I don't want to say that it's WWE doing a favor for Daniel Bryan. But I think they figure out, you know what, he put so much work and effort and to become the champion. It's like they really feel bad to take it off him, especially after, you know, the week after he got married, then his dad died, then this Make-A-Wish kid died, and it just was. I don't know. I'm looking at it in that sense. And I think they figured too much time, too much was invested into making him champion that they just cannot take it off of him. They should take it off of him, but maybe this is a ploy. This is a way to get everybody else to step up their game without being the champion.
So moving forward, how much longer is he going to be out? I mean, they're talking.
We don't have an exact time frame yet.
Yeah, they don't have an exact time frame. So
the latest is going to be SummerSlam.
So based on what you see, based on what we've seen like tonight,
we'd have to go about another 2.5 months.
Based on what we've seen tonight, like, is it like, are they in like deep shit?
They're in deep shit. They're in big trouble.
Deep doo doo, huh?
This is why I wanted Cesaro to be the champ, the U.S. champion tonight.
Yeah.
Because Cesaro could have been the guy for a period of time without being the champion. You know, because I look at it in this way, okay? I've been using 1997 in WCW a lot lately for referencing, specifically because Hogan was champion in 1997. The last time Hogan defended his world title was at Super Brawl. That was in February. He wrestled a match in March at Uncensored. And then the next time Hogan was in the ring was in a tag team match at Bash at the Beach in July. So there was a long stretch where Hulk Hogan didn't wrestle as champion, but he appeared on the shows here and there. Okay, fine. My point of that whole thing that is that during that time, the other championships in WCW were elevated. And I feel, in my eyes, that the people during those days, like the TV champion, especially the U.S. champion, that was a big deal. And in 1997, I'm trying to just go off the top of my head, there were four or five people that were U.S. champion, And I would place them in the cloud of being the guy, the champion of WCW at that time. In 1997, we started the year off with Eddie Guerrero being U.S. champion. Then Dean Malenko was U.S. champion for about 3 months. Then it was Jeff Jarrett, then Steve Mongo McMichael, and then Mongo lost it to Kurt Hennig, and Kurt Hennig lost it to Diamond Dallas Page, who took us into 1998. So I feel that those guys that were the U.S. champion, while Hogan was champion, they were the guy. They were the man, you know? They were defending their titles on TV, and you know, you'd have a U.S. title match on WCW Saturday Night once in a while, and shit like that. But and they could have just very simply done the same here. They could have had Cesaro. See, Wario says he should have been IC champion, but you know, whatever. IC, U.S., it really doesn't matter. He could have had one of those two titles, and he could have been put in a position where he was the man in WWE. And WWE really messed it up. Because, listen, I understand a lot of people like Wade Barrett. But, you know, for me, he just doesn't do it. He doesn't cut the mustard. I like him. You know, I'm happy that he's IC champion. It's better than an alternative of RVD.
He's just,
but it's just, he's just long term. I just don't see it. Cesaro, on the other hand, he could have had one of those mid card titles, and we could have had an interim champion filling in for Daniel Bryan, having not just good matches, but having stellar matches with the right people.
But Wade Barrett's been hurt a few times, right?
Yeah, a couple times.
So, and they've given him the IC title a few times. He can get hurt again tomorrow. And then you're back to trying to give the belt to somebody else, and he's gone for a few months.
Yeah.
And then he's coming out giving the bad news instead of wrestling with a new theme song.
I think, no, there was no Hogan hate, Cash Cow. And you know, Paul Heyman is doing a great job because, you know, he's putting Cesaro over in a big way. Heyman is doing something that he didn't do with CM Punk because CM Punk didn't need it. And he's not doing it with Brock Lesnar because it's not that Brock doesn't need it, because Brock needs all the help in the world. But with Brock, it was a different animal. Heyman is that cowardice, old-school manager. And let's face it.
Well, let's hope we don't end up like...
old school is cool, guys.
No, I'm just saying, let's hope he doesn't end up like Curtis Axel.
I don't think so. I don't think so, because you know why? Everybody liked Cesaro long before Heyman came around. Okay? So I wouldn't worry about that.
Bad times in WWE land.
I tell you, the just... It absolutely sucks that WrestleMania 30 was so good. Best pay-per-view WWE had put on in 100 years. And from there, everything took a nosedive. The stocks, the storylines, the injuries. Everything just went shoo. It's like somebody pulled the plug on the WWE on the Monday after WrestleMania.
Meanwhile, in NXT.
And NXT has been doing good. And you know what? I'll talk about NXT on Tuesday. But what happened on Thursday night? What happened on Thursday night? I'm going to tell you. I've been watching a lot of Clash of Champions lately. I swear to you that the hands of time spun backwards, and I thought I was watching TBS and watching the Clash of Champions. it certainly felt that way. Because there was... I take that back. I was about to say I didn't have any issues with Takeover, and I did have one in particular issue with Takeover, but other than that, I mean, the night was just, it was immaculate. It was immaculate, and it's sad that Wario in the chat room is making a valid point that all the folks that are being jokes in the mid card, are from the developmental system, and you spend all this time and money and effort breeding these people who are having kick-ass matches in NXT and doing some epic things in NXT, and then they come to the main roster and look what happens. I mean, granted, the last crop of guys that have come up really haven't had their chance yet because they've only been around a short time, the last, 60 days or so. But yeah.
See, and that's been my problem with the WWE and NXT. That's been my problem. Like, I'm getting criticized for an opinion like that. That's what I'm always saying. If you're going to bring them into NXT, I'm not saying they immediately have to be in the World Heavyweight Championship picture, but if you're going to bring them up and build them like they're supposed to be. Build them up to where when there is no more Daniel Bryan or John Cena or Sheamus or Triple H or whatever, these people are there to just take the reins.
No, but that's the thing. That's the thing, Rage. You can't do it like that. Because if you bring these people up from developmental, okay, I'm going to go with your theory, and I really should be saving this for Tuesday, but since we're on the air now, and we bring in William Morgan in this discussion, we'll get William's take on the pay-per-view in just a second. The way you got to do it, Rage, is that if you bring in people from NXT, regardless of who it is, NXT is always going to be filtering in new people. So you're always going to have fresh talent. But if you're going to have to wait for the days of there's no more Triple H and Daniel Bryan and things like that, there's going to be a backlog of all these guys that never got their chance.
Yeah, so you're right. I'm sorry about that.
So at some point, you have to push somebody to the side and make room. So that's why, like, for example, somebody that's getting looked over now that really should not be getting looked over is Dolph Ziggler. He's getting looked over in favor of some NXT guys like Rusev, which I got a problem with, and I talked about it in the pre-show. Okay, that's fine. That's the nature of the business. They gotta just make room where they can to bring in some fresh faces, and they build them up slowly that way. They just don't thrust them into the world title. Anyways, William, what did you think of this pay-per-view? I'm sure you have some comments.
How you doing today, guys? You guys doing okay?
Everybody's peachy.
I was just about to say
that. My whole thoughts on this pay-per-view, it's like a B-.
That's a better grade than I gave.
There was some high spots there, but the whole thing felt like an indie show to me.
This goes back to the thing. You're doing a disservice to the indies by saying that. Because here's the thing, William, and I don't know if you heard me say it. Because you can have a WrestleMania quality indie show just using indie wrestlers at an indie show. You can have great matches that would tear the house down at WrestleMania at any indie show anywhere in the country. So putting it down like that in the sense that it was an indie show is a disservice not only to the indie shows, but it's also a disservice to the WWE to a degree. Mostly to the indie shows, though. Because the indie shows, to give you a great example of proving my point, WWE's biggest fear of NXT takeover overshadowing this pay-per-view came true tonight.
It did.
Okay. That shows you don't need Raw or SmackDown or a pay-per-view to have a quality wrestling program. You just have to go down the street, down there, International Drive in Orlando, Florida, wherever the hell Full Sail University is, and you just plop yourself there on a Thursday night and watch NXT.
Begin to go. It to me, this pay-per-view just left more questions than answers to me.
I don't even think it asked any questions. I just think it just WWE. WWE just, you know, they put everything down on paper. And they said, Vince, sign off on this. And he said, okay. And he signed off on it, and that was it. And I refuse to believe that there's lazy booking going on. I think there's careless booking going on.
Well, I'm really starting to believe that now.
It's like, and then the opportunities that were just squandered tonight were just amazing to me. Big E lost. You could have brought the new nation in that direction.
No, Big E had to lose. Had to lose.
I know. That much I know he had to lose. But
because I'll tell you why. So that you can have your flag match tomorrow on Raw. Anyways.
But, you know, it's just like there's left more questions than answers. And then on top of all of that, I said this on Saturday, we ended up getting the Midgets match versus the Usos defending those tag titles. That's a disgrace.
No, it's so not.
It needed for the last man standing
match.
It's not.
I think, to be honest with you, I was pleased with El Torito and Hornswoggle kicking off the night. It was good. I thought it was placed well. The Usos not defending the tag team titles. You know what? I look at it in this sense. And no, but then again, they probably could have still worked the main event. It would have been hard to do. It's not that I'm saying that they're not capable. Would have been hard for them to do double duty.
Unless the tag teams would have been defended against the fam.
Yeah.
And it's just it would have been difficult for them to pull double duty, or to write it in, I should say, because I know that they're capable of doing the double duty, but
they did take a beating tonight.
Oh yeah, they did.
They did.
They did. It just was, I don't know, and I'm sure the Allstate Arena cleared out real fast. I do feel that the crowd in Chicago behaved themselves tonight, but I think that's because they just weren't given the opportunity to really, voice their displeasure.
And then another thing, this would have been another opportunity to see one of the brothers turn on each other, and it didn't happen.
No, I would not have done that.
The Rhodes.
I'll tell you why I would not have done that. Oh, you're talking about with the Rhodes?
Yeah.
Oh, well, it still might happen. They just laid a different. They're going about it a different way. Right. But I still think that they're going to do it. Wario says that they should just drop the June pay-per-view. And
I believe
Which one? They got two June pay-per-views. But anyways, I think if WWE ends up, I mean, we don't know what's going to happen now with the WWE in terms of finances and whatever, and whether or not the network's going to be around long term and all these things. I don't think the network's going anywhere. But there's always that chance that it might disappear. I think that if WWE destroyed their pay-per-view business to the point of what's the point of them being on pay-per-view, that all their events will be exclusive to the network, I think that I think we're going to see a reduction in these quote-unquote pay-per-view / special events, and it'll be whittled down to more of it's going to be hard, because I was going to say like a Clash of the Champions type thing, but if they're all on the network, it's going to all still be the same. I would say just we whittle it down to, you know, get rid of about two or three of those pay-per-views. Not do what TNA did. Right. Can't do that. But I would just, you know, get rid of a couple of these pay-per-views and have and make the stretches between the pay-per-views much longer, because that way there's more time to build and more time to do things and this and that.
Didn't you say the next pay-per-view is what, 3 weeks?
4 weeks from tonight.
See, you're not building any type of interest.
That's the problem with you know what? If the pay-per-view, technically, I'm not going to say that this is a June pay-per-view. Let's just say that this was a May pay-per-view, happened on May 31st, because today's only June 1st.
Mm-hmm.
The next pay-per-view is Sunday, June 29th, so it would be 4 weeks. If you go on a 12-month pay-per-view booking schedule, your average pay-per-view is every 4 to 5 weeks. So this, in essence, would be the norm, as it has been for the last 15 to 20 years. Okay. So WWE has ample time to be able to book the next pay-per-view. The problem is they just are not utilizing their time wisely. Because for years and years, we were able to go from one pay-per-view to the next and be able to book and write good pay-per-views and have good matches and things like that. You know, the last pay-per-view was Extreme Rules, Was it Extreme Rules?
Yeah.
Extreme Rules.
Extreme Rules, which was, I don't know, about three, four weeks ago?
3 weeks.
3 weeks, something like that. So, they didn't, you know, they were lucky in the sense that they didn't have to book a world title match, because who knows what they would have done. That's one more problem. They threw two extra matches on this card that were not advertised.
Yep, sure did.
Now, that's not right either.
And I so agree with you, AA, on not giving Dolph Ziggler a push. I think that's a big mistake.
Well,
too.
It's not even just giving him a push. It's just that he became a sacrificial lamb for the WWE, and unfortunately, is being pushed off to the side for Bo Dallas and Rusev and Adam Rose and things like that. And I'm not saying that that's a bad thing,
right?
It's just it's unfortunate that he was the one that got pushed aside. You know, that when there's far more deserving people that needed to be pushed aside, you know?
How the hell is JTG still on that damn roster?
I don't know. He hasn't wrestled in such a long time that I don't know. But whatever. As long as he's not on TV, he's doing...
There you go.
He's doing no harm.
There you go.
But yeah, you know, so I don't know. I don't know what will become of this situation with the WWE. I guess we'll just have to wait and see. That's it. Anyways, let's real quickly run down what's going on here on the network. Next Sunday, join us 9 p.m. It'll be myself and Lee, one-on-one, only us, open mic. We were going to talk about anything and everything we want. It's going to be a very special broadcast. A broadcast that Surfer's already trying to weasel himself into.
I ain't trying to weasel myself in. I just think, what makes Lee so special? That's what I'm asking. That's all. What's he getting all the fun? But anyway.
And then, the Sunday after that, two Sundays from tonight, our TNA Slammiversary coverage will kick off at 7 p.m., we'll have a live pre-show, live chat, and a post-show running down everything that went down.
Who's doing it, AA?
I think I will be actually participating in that. So,
no way.
Yes,
really.
Then we'll see. We'll see. It'll probably be the final time we'll do TNA coverage. But we'll see. We'll see what happens. We'll see what happens. Anyways. So yeah, it's going to be a very interesting night next Sunday, and then the Sunday after that with our pre-show coverage for Slammiversary. Then Sunday, June 29th, our coverage for WWE Money in the Bank will happen. That'll be Sunday, June 29th at 7 p.m. That's also the night that a certain Sunday evening program hopefully will move to 5 p.m. permanently. And seeing how there's a trend going on here that, you know, there's four Sundays in the month of June, and three of those Sundays have programming on Sunday other than another show. And it seems that, you know, you'd have to continue changing your time slot.
I don't have to change my time. I'm not going on the air early for TNA. I'm going on at 6 and getting off at 7.
It ain't like you got anything else to do.
Yes, dude's go having a life.
What can we do with
TNA? We're not going to get into this.
TNA hate.
But like I said, June 29th, mark it on your calendar.
Work as a sandwich.
Anyways. Mention that one more time.
So, and then after that, we've got a full schedule in July going into August, where we're going to have, I think we're going to do something special for SummerSlam, but we've got pay-per-view coverage like no other, and of course, roundtables and all this stuff going into the summer, and it all kicks off with a special, the special that me and Lee are going to do next Sunday. And of course, the weekly shows, The Rant, every Tuesday night, live at 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific, 1 a.m. for you people in the UK. We're going to run down what happened on Monday Night Raw, on Tuesday night. And of course, I'll talk about Total Divas, NXT TakeOver, full recap of the week's news, and much, much more. Turnbuckle Throwbacks, I believe this week, coming. The show will not be live, but a new episode will in fact air. Okay? So you definitely want to tune in this Wednesday at 9 p.m. for another edition of Turnbuckle Throwbacks. Special edition. I'm not going to divulge what that special edition is. Then on Saturday, it's the Wrestling Call-In Show with William Morgan, live at 11 p.m. 8 p.m. for you people on the West Coast. Sunday, for now, is the What Are You Reading comic book show at 6 p.m. live. So you can definitely tune into that this Sunday. And of course, all the shows are available on iTunes by simply searching for Rant Entertainment Media. You can download all the network audio and everything. Go to rantamradio.com, where we've got the results for this pay-per-view, NXT TakeOver, and a whole bunch of other things. Follow us on Facebook and Twitter at rantamradio. Ooh, and then what else? I think that's about it. So, if there's no final words here from the gallery,
I'm good.
All right. That said, we'll see everybody on Tuesday for another edition of The Rant, where this discussion will, in fact, continue, and we'll take your calls and do all sorts of weird, crazy, crazy, crazy things. So, for everybody in the chat room, everybody listening live, thank you for being a part of the show. Thank you for tuning in. If you're listening to us on TuneIn Radio, thank you for taking us on the go with you. And for William Morgan, Rage, Surfer, and Tony C, not a part of the post-show today for obvious reasons. We discussed that during the pre-show. I'm Double A. We'll see you Tuesday night. Have a good night, everybody. Where the hell is the closing music to this? There we go. The whole world sitting on a ticking bomb, and it don't care.